My guest at this time is Louisiana Republican Senator David Vitter. He joins me now to talk about two critical subjects. Number one, the likes of Fannie and Freddie requesting more federal bailout money as they continue to flounder financially. We also want to get his reaction to a new energy strategy from the Obama administration, including postponing what many consider to be a very lucrative deal, which is the Canadian pipeline. And, Senator, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg. Good to be with you.
Well, we already know that Fannie and Freddie have been bailed out to the tune of about $175 billion. I know you had a bill to cap that at $200 billion,
yep.
And already they're back for more. What explanations have they given for why they still can't get things right and why they think a little bit more from the taxpayer will do the trick?
Well, they give no adequate explanation. There's simply no end in sight. And unfortunately, under present law, through 2012, they have unlimited bailouts coming from the federal taxpayer. The Treasury just has to shovel money to keep them afloat, whatever that means, however much it takes, at least through 2012. Recently on the Senate floor, I tried to put a limit on that of at least $200 billion. Now, that's a lot of money, but even that limit was unfortunately rejected.
How in the world did it get to the point where Congress has no way to monitor or restrict the amount of bailout money they get?
Well, unfortunately, the administration last December, a few days before Christmas, when everyone was home, when no one was paying attention, passed a rule at Treasury to have unlimited bailout authority. And we've been trying to rein that in ever since then, we being conservatives who want to put some limit on that taxpayer liability and rein in Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. The other thing that hasn't been going on is we're simply doing nothing in Congress because of the Democratic majority in the Senate to introduce private actors back into the marketplace and to try to back out Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac in terms of their complete dominance of the market, and that's where we are right now. Obviously, if they are almost all of the market, that expands the threat to the taxpayer and potential taxpayer liability enormously.
And that raises a couple of important follow-up points. First of all, so if in fact they are the majority of the market right now, does that put them in the hated category of too big to fail?
Oh, absolutely. And the taxpayer is on the hook every step of the way. And again, through 2012, literally with no upper limit in sight, Congress doesn't even have to approve it.
Elaborate a little bit on your idea of bringing the private sector back into this. I'm sure a lot of people would want to see less of a domination by Fannie and Freddie given their track record over the past several years. But how do you do that? How do you start the transition process to bring more players into the market and ease the domination by Fannie and Freddie?
Well, you know, a lot of fans of Fannie and Freddie say, well, you know, the private market actors aren't strong enough to take their place right now because the housing market is so weak. Well, it's certainly true that the housing market is weak, but this is a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy as we expand the taxpayer-subsidized role of Fannie and Freddie. It's really crowding out everyone else. So we need a strategy to reverse that over time, not in a week or a month or even a year, but over a few years, make sure we reintroduce private players back into the market and back out Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
Just given where we are right now with Fannie and Freddie being the dominant player and unlimited bailout potential, if they don't get the bailout money that they're asking for, what's the impact if they implode or go into even more dire straits before
you? Well, because they do dominate the housing market, there would be that negative impact. And that's why sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy that certain folks in Washington keep throwing money at them. But the problem is that sustains their completely dominant position.
In terms of reacting to what the administration did last December with this new rule about unlimited bankruptcy through 2012, you mentioned that the Democrats obviously control the Senate. Have they given you an explanation as to why they're okay with that, other than the fact that it came from a Democratic administration?
No, they really haven't. And every time we try to bring up significant reform of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, they have hearings, they talk about it. They never will have a markup on actual legislation. You know, last year, the Congress passed Dodd-Frank. I voted no. I had a lot of problems with it. But there were four words completely left out of Dodd-Frank related to the 2008 crisis, and that was Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And those entities had a lot to do with it, not everything, but a lot. And yet nothing in Dodd-Frank changed them, touched them. We need to get to that necessary reform.
Let's transition to energy now, Senator. And obviously, you and I have talked many times, especially in the wake of Deepwater Horizon, about the importance of energy exploration and how you think it was important to get back going again with safety measures in place following that. And you've been very frustrated with the administration and its reluctance to do that and particularly extend licenses in addition to the leases that it does allow. This new plan from 2012 to 2017, you've calculated that it only allows exploration for 2.16% of all outer continental shelf acres to be leased. Basically, only the western Gulf of Mexico is allowed to be explored here.
Right.
What do you make of that, and have you got an explanation as to why more areas aren't open?
Well, we're really moving backwards instead of moving forwards. This is what's called the new five-year plan from the federal government for the outer continental shelf. It's a five-year plan about what we're going to lease for energy production on the outer continental shelf. And rather than moving forward by opening up significant additional areas, it really moves backwards. It's basically half of the last five-year plan. One of the first things on the energy side the Obama administration did taking office was throw out the last five-year plan, invalidate it. And this plan, which they recently issued, is half of that plan. Instead of six leases per year, it's about three leases per year. Instead of 30 leases total, it's about 15 leases total. It's trivial in terms of all of our resources, and it essentially reimposes administratively the moratorium that used to exist, shutting off all activity off the Atlantic and the Pacific. You know, Congress had done that for years and years, and finally, in 2008, listening to the American people who said we need to access our own energy here at home, Congress got rid of that moratorium. This essentially is just reimposing that moratorium on the administrative side.
Another issue that is not exploration-related or even Gulf of Mexico-related, but this Canadian pipeline, which has been touted as one that could potentially create, I think, as many as 20,000 jobs in this country, has been debated for a while now. The president taking his time on this and now is delaying a decision apparently until after next year's election. What should our listeners know about this project and whether it's a good idea and what they should make of the president's delay here?
Sure. Well, this is the proposed Keystone Pipeline, which would be a major pipeline to bring reliable energy from Canada, which is a nearby ally, into the United States and be less dependent on Middle Eastern and other less stable sources. Now, obviously, that's not U.S. energy, but it's as close as you can get Canada, which is a safe, reliable, very friendly ally, and it would lessen our dependence again on those much more unstable sources. The administration is really overdue to make a decision on permitting the pipeline, and it was resisting that and resisting that in deference to their far-left environmental base. And then finally, they just announced they're going to punt it completely until after the election. I think it's all about politics. I think there are no reasonable grounds to not grant the permit. But they, again, just want to appease their environmental base at least until the election. And so they just punted it until after the next presidential election. In the meantime, we're suffering because we're not securing that good, reliable energy from a close ally, Canada.
Senator, two major issues. We appreciate your time on these very much today. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg.
Louisiana Republican Senator David Vitter. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.